Today we want to talk about bias and our personal internal bias, and how do we be honest with ourselves about what that is. A real challenge, but an important one.
It is. And it's not a word that we hear a lot of. I picked it up in something that I was reading, and it was challenging the reader on their bias. What is your bias here? Or you may be compromised in this situation because you have an unconscious bias. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting word to use when we hear words more like phobic, or we're prejudiced, or there's so many other words that we hear these days. Bias is not a word that we kind of...
Bias feels different to prejudice and phobic, which feel like emotional things that we're having trouble letting go of. A bias is more like something we don't know we've got.
Very good.
I don't know, but that's my personal feeling about it. I'm not quite sure if that's...
Well, that's a good way of looking at it, because then we can step back from our emotional reaction to something and recognize that actually we have an unconscious bias here. And you may think that you are kosher with everything around going on in the world, but you may find in conversation sometimes that something rises up that you really disagree with something, and but you can't speak it out, you know, because you know it's going to cause a huge eruption. So, you know, that's a good way of recognizing your unconscious bias is coming now to the top that you may not have noticed was sitting there. I mean, and to get a picture of what that might look like, well, if we look at prejudice, maybe, you know, you might have grown up in a family that was quite opinionated around different cultures. You may not have held those opinions yourself. You may have felt that that was unfair, what your family was saying. However, you know, you've grown up around these conditionings that have come through your family history or line, or maybe just your mum and dad that you grew up with, or whoever you grew up with. And you may come into your adult years and think that you're quite okay with different cultures, and you feel that, you know, you're quite...
You're doing all right.
Yeah. And then you have a conversation and something rises up within you that you're like, man, I didn't know that was sitting there. I didn't realise I had such a reaction to that comment. And it can be quite confusing, because in your everyday life you may feel that you are all good with everything around you. And it's not until a conversation happens that triggers something deep within us that we realise, actually, I have an opinion about this that doesn't agree with your opinion. And that is where we may recognise our unconscious bias. And so it could be that, you know, something rises up within you that feels really unjust. There's an injustice there, and you can't express it, because it will offend other people. And so,
that does also sound a bit like something like a value as well, that's different to someone else's value. People often get angry when something like that happens, and it surprises everyone.
Yeah, and I think in our personal lives, you know, we can have this and may never recognise our unconscious bias towards something. It's not until it's challenged, I think, more in the corporate world or in our working environment, where we may come across things that we think,
Did you have to go through, when you were doing your counselling training, did you have to go through...
Yes.
Did they have a class where they just tried to confront your bias, find out what your biases were and confront you with them?
Yeah.
That sounds a bit aggressive. It probably wasn't like that.
Actually, probably when before even my counselling, I probably noticed that more in my social work. We were really challenged, but it wasn't called a bias. It wasn't called, it may be called our... know, prejudices or whatever back then that we had, reaction that we were affected by something because we didn't believe that the person should be living like that, you know. So how it was expressed to us may have been quite different than a bias. It was more so recognising that you had an opinion about that and it was affecting you, so therefore you couldn't work with that person because you couldn't sit in an environment and not be emotionally charged.
So was the solution to get someone else to cover that?
Well, that's the easy solution, isn't it, to get someone else to cover that. But I think the challenge within a social worker or a counsellor is to probably look deeper within ourselves and go, well, where's this coming from, and why have I got such a strong reaction to it when I thought I was okay with everything? Why am I so affected by this? And so as a counsellor, definitely I have unconscious bias there. It's not an easy thing to admit, but we have them.
Well, it's pretty human.
It is human because...
computers don't have an unconscious bias.
Ooh,
but
now we're getting AI.
No,
I'm just saying, though, because you're right. Computers don't.
Well, I'm saying the machine doesn't, but probably there's an argument that the machine would have the bias of the person who made it. I'm just trying to make a point that there aren't any people who don't have, you know, it's very normal to have a bias, and the trick is how to be honest with yourself about it.
Yeah, and I would think that there's probably people out there that would never even think that they have a bias, that they think that they're all good, like, yeah, I'm good with everything and nothing affects me and we can do what we like, and, you know, but it's not until there's some pushback somewhere where you recognise, you go, oh, hang on a minute, I actually don't believe what you're saying, or, you know, that doesn't sound right to me, and how do I, in this charged situation, now, how do I speak my truth in a place where people don't want to hear a truth, or my truth? They just want to hear the other person's truth, because that's far more pleasing to the ear.
I think you've described most of the internet, but anyway.
Well, I'm using words instead of situations, because that's what causes people to get engaged and charged, is when I speak to something that could cause an eruption in somebody else. And there's so many things happening in our world right now that can cause that to happen. And I'm talking about our change in our humanness and the things we want to do to ourselves and the things that we want to become that we may not naturally have been born with. So, you know, there's going to be within us, because there are so many situations coming up now that we have to deal with, we're going to have to be more and more aware of our unconscious bias, because otherwise all we're going to do is cause more and more conflict, because we're going to keep trying to push our unconscious bias onto somebody else who doesn't fit with what we're saying, and so we're never going to come to a place of an agreement in regards to certain things that we are dealing with in society right now and the changes that are happening. I think the best way we can sort of compromise, I guess, to try and engage with the things that are happening around us, is to recognise the things that irk us. And then go there and question yourself. What is it about that? That really, is this a moral standing for me? Is this a is this just my opinion? Is this a value that I hold deeply within me that I don't want to shift?
But then what?
Yeah, exactly.
You say, okay, this is, I don't want to shift that. Mm-hmm. I think that thing is morally incorrect.
Yeah,
I can't abide it.
Now what, interesting. Because that's societies
to eradicate them from the planet. Yeah,
well, that's it's conflict. We come to conflict.
Is there another way?
Is there another way? Only if we want there to be another way. Do I think it's possible? Like most things I say, when it comes to the language we use to express things, I think that we have to change the language we use. Change the language and it may bring a new response, because just like the word prejudice or phobic or whatever other word you want to put in there, if I say bias, it's going to have a different feel to it than those other words. So
bias is a bit softer.
It's a bit softer. It's recognising that I have a bias. I have an opinion here that may not come alongside other people's opinions. So what am I going to do with this? And I know that I get emotionally charged by it too. So if you want an answer to how, it's always going to be about looking at oneself and understanding your bias. I was going to bring up a situation, but I won't bring that one up.
Everybody's thinking about situations.
What was it? No, look, I tell you.
I'm thinking about stuff. Well, I can talk about.
Well, I can in regards to probably, when I was in gang life.
I would have some had time a bias. Ago, folks. Marie's talked about this a lot in her interviews, but if you haven't heard before, in your 20s?
Yes.
Yeah, and you made an escape from that life at some point. Yes. A long time ago. But formative years.
Formative years, and I would have definitely had a bias against the police. I would have been seen as somebody who was biased because I've been on the other end of the repercussions of certain situations and seeing things. So I would be seen as somebody who had a bias in regards to the police.
Did that change a bit after you left?
Well, the truth is my bias with police probably started in my teenage years, where I had a situation that was not good, and was unfair. And so my bias would have started there rather than where it was in my 20s. So in my 20s I saw things happening that I actually think were fair and just. Because justice is quite strong in me. It is quite a strong feeling in me. I like things that are fair, even if it goes against, even if it's not right. For me, it's still fear. Like, that was fear. Okay, that's fear.
If AIR.
Yeah.
That kind of fear.
Pretty fair. That the repercussions of that were fear.
Okay. So, all right. So, anyway, you know that's a bias you had.
Yeah. And so.
Am I going to ask you if you've still got it?
No, I don't still have that bias at all. No.
When
maturity's grown since then.
When did you recognise that you had that bias?
Oh, my goodness. I would have been, I would have been probably 13, probably 12, 13.
Did you recognise you had a bias?
I would have not at that point.
No, you wouldn't.
No, looking back now, I recognise it.
Yeah, but so what point did you look back and go, oh, I used to have a bias against the police, or I do have a bias against, I imagine that's more like your 30s than.
Yeah, that's in my, well past my 20s.
Yeah.
Definitely into my later 30s when I started to recognise, the consequences or that, there needed to be consequences for things and you can't ride shotgun throughout your life. There's going to be a consequence to that, and it's logical, really. I grew up. I saw things for what they were, but is my bias there? No, I don't believe my bias is there these days. I don't get an emotional reaction or feel threatened or anything.
Is that
like
how you tell?
Well, I think it's a good way. It's a good first indicator is how are you reacting to something and why are you reacting to it like that? Is this a moral ground? Is it a value base in you? And you know what? I encourage people not to change their morals and their values. If this is what suits you in your life and this is what you believe, it's okay to have your morals and values and hold them in high regard and don't let other people wipe them away because they don't suit their morals and values.
Is there a trick to recognise that other people have different values and that's okay? I'm trying to think of an example here, one where I'm not involved in, but a conversation I've had. Like, there are people who go hunting and there are vegetarians.
Yeah.
And very different value systems. And I've had conversations with people, you know, someone young, just saying, you need to recognise they have a different value system to you. That's why they're handling this situation differently. And you certainly can't do anything about it, you know.
No,
But there's a tendency to. I mean, I know I've got values where I think, yeah, I'm definitely the one in the right there. I've definitely got the right value.
Yeah.
But here I am trying to tell someone in my life to recognise that other people got different values, and you just have to live with that. But I wasn't actually, I'm thinking the value, internal value of mine that I really wasn't prepared to live with. So it's,
you're right.
So I'm almost, it's almost hypocritical of me to lecture someone to say you've got to accept that other person's values and that the world
exactly.
is like that.
I think it's
but,
more
it is,
so,
but it is true nonetheless.
I think it's more so you have to accept your own value, Aaron. And these days we've got so many people trying to push us away or pull us away from our values, like compromise ourselves to accommodate somebody else. Well, yeah, I don't know. That's going to take some more thought on my part because I'm coming to a place where actually we're starting to get a bit wishy-washy. If you tell me I should think like that, then that's how I should think. Well, no, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to agree just to smooth something over and make it right for somebody else if it compromises my own value or my own morals.
As a culture, we're not very good at situations of conflict. We just try to avoid them. I'm talking to people from other countries, they get a little bit frustrated with us because they're like, you can't deal with anything with you guys, you know. It's like,
we can't make our minds up.
And we're probably looking at them going, man, you guys are rude.
Yeah.
You know.
Arrogant.
In the moment, right? But I do agree with them that we do have problems in New Zealand dealing with situations of conflict.
Because we like to be right. And we like to come out winning. And we're quite opinionated. I want you to agree with me.
It's something about not being able to. Not, I don't think we have the skills, or we don't have the practice, or experience, or role models of how to deal.
Yeah, I think that's
with those things, and
the
so
role
we
models.
Kind of we'll run away, we'll go into our shell, and a lot of people will just disagree. I will sort of will just agree, but then if it goes to a disagreement, then the switch is flicked, and it goes to extreme disagreement.
Yeah, because we're still a warring country. We're still at war with our emotions. I mean, we haven't reconciled the Treaty of Waitangi yet. How can we reconcile emotional trauma in us when we can't even look at our history and reconcile it there?
Okay, how much of that is a big deal? Because we've now stepped into some territory that some people might have strong feelings and values and morals about from either side, but you're saying as a counsellor you can see we first of all need to recognise that it was a war that happened here, and it was traumatic for, well, in fact it's traumatic for everyone involved.
Absolutely.
Let's be clear, whether you've got the good weapons or the not so good weapons doesn't really matter. It's still traumatic being in a war situation, and it's a different kind of trauma if your people have been, a lot of them have been wiped out, or to the type of trauma if you're the one doing the wiping out, it's still, that's another kind of trauma that changes who you are.
Yes.
And so are you saying that you can see that history in us as a counsellor?
Well, we can still see it. We've seen it on the news lately. We see it all over the place. People are responding out of historical trauma in history, in their families, in their lineage. We're still speaking out our trauma and trying to make it right. We're still angry.
I think, obviously, the people in the Māori community are comfortable with saying, yeah, we've got trauma that's happened to us and we're still living with it. I think a lot of, like Pākehā, people like me who've just descended from people who were the ones who were handing out what they were handing out, am I still carrying trauma from that because they were killing people?
Oh, I can imagine if you came across some story in your ancestors that you heard, you would have, and it was one where they were slaughtered violently by a Māori community. I'm sure that there would be some historical trauma sitting there from those stories.
But I'm not saying about the trauma of being the murderer, right? Let's just use that word. We all know what that is.
Anyone who takes life is a murderer, I imagine.
Yeah, but that the act of doing that means is a trauma for the murderer as well.
Yeah.
Because you've just taken a life.
Absolutely, you can't just get away from that. It doesn't go
you
away.
You can't turn around and walk away. Right, so I'm saying, is that being carried in the population
Absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely. It's, well, if we... It, it, I would imagine on how much effect that trauma had on the family that was traumatised, whether that family carried that trauma through, the story of what happened and the brutality of it and the unfairness, the injustice of it. If that story has been carried through, then for sure you're going to have some bias there.
But it almost feels like you could say, well, if we were able to forget it, then we wouldn't be affected by it anymore. But
I'm not sure, and I guess that would come up in a situation if you didn't know anything about your history, your family's, your lineage or anything like that, and there was massive trauma sitting back there. I mean, those studies have been done around that where historical trauma has come through the genes into the next generation.
Well, yeah, because it does. I mean, we understand with the field of epigenetics now that, that your things that happen in your life will switch genes on and off.
And then that's
one really obvious way that that things can be passed on.
So you asked me what would show that I'm have a bias, right? Or how would I know? Your reaction will tell you. And your reaction may confuse you because you didn't know that bias was sitting there and you don't know where it's coming from. It would be good, healthy to look and maybe, oh, maybe I need to look back in my history. There's some stuff sitting there for me I don't know anything about, you know, and that I'm getting a reaction to that I don't understand why I'm reacting like that. You know, that could be that hidden unbiased or bias sitting there that you don't know about. But most of us know our bias. Most of us have touched on it many times in our life. There'll be situations or conversations we've had and we've gone, oh, that's a no-go. I'm not going there. Because you know that what's going to come out is not going to be palatable for the person to hear. So how do we sit with our biases, and how do we develop as human beings knowing that we don't fit in every situation or don't agree with everything that's being said?
Well, some things if you go you have a little moment where you go, oh, actually I'm a little bit prejudiced in that area, and you might just say, okay, I'm not going to be like that anymore, and that might be enough. But there might be, and so that would eradicate that issue. But then, as we said before, it might be an issue or a value where we're like, actually, no, I do feel strongly about that. It's a core part of who I am. And I definitely disagree with those people over there.
That's an interesting one, because I was
with you.
I was with you up until you said, and I disagree with those people over there. That's where it changed for me.
I'm illustrating the point, right?
Yeah, but it's interesting because I would, when I have a bias or towards something, it's not about the person, it's probably more about the act or what's being done, then I do have a reaction to the actual person in front of me. So my morals or my values may be compromised by this person in front of me, but I don't dislike the person for it, if you can understand that.
Are you able to get your head around that?
Yeah, I totally can.
Dislike
totally
the act, not the person.
Yeah, totally. That's an easy, because, I mean, I've been doing it for years. If I was to...
As a counsellor.
Yeah, if I was to... I mean, I've heard so many stories, Aaron.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
You couldn't be a counsellor without...
There's no way I could counsel people if I didn't, for one, know my own biases and know my own limitations. And some of those limitations I won't cross. Some of those biases in me are my morals and are my values, and I don't want to compromise.
So are there some people you couldn't counsel?
Yes, there are.
And should we just accept that that's... Well, I know, like, when you go to a counsellor, sometimes they'll say, you know, it's important to get the person that you feel a good fit with.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that's just on the chemistry, really, in a lot of ways.
People think of it in that vein, in that light.
Someone you just feel comfortable with.
Oh, I feel comfortable with this person.
Yeah, whereas we're talking about something a little bit more definable, which
does your counsellor have a bias that they know about?
You wouldn't say, oh, I have a bias in that area. You would just say, that's not my strength. But I know another counsellor who is really good in this area.
Yeah, and that's kind of... Although it's getting trickier and trickier, you may not know something until you're halfway through a counselling session and realise that actually this is going to a place that I am not going to or can't work in. I have too many biases here.
Yeah.
You know, I can't actually be of any benefit to this person. I would be a discredit to them. And that noticing and recognising my own bias is extremely important in the work we do, because that would be wrong of me to counsel somebody that I had a huge bias, personal bias in myself, yeah, that I was struggling with.
And I know you've said in the past that when you were doing your counselling training, that you, all the students, you all had to go through counselling to find the areas where you had issues,
yeah,
because if you had an issue, and I'm not talking about morals and biases here, just a personal issue,
yeah,
that if you had a personal issue that you hadn't dealt with, you would tend to steer your clients away from that area,
yeah,
if it came up.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, I think.
Mm.
You know?
But unless you know that, you actually don't know you're doing it, which is really, really interesting. You don't know when you're in conversation with somebody, when something comes up that you don't want to go there, that you will avoid and deflect off and deflect onto another subject or way of expressing something. And it's so tricky and so quick that the other person doesn't actually recognise it, and you're off on a different subject, and the person has just slipped away quite nicely from where you were catching them, basically.
Yeah.
So
that's and that's a similar thing, and that's just recognising that human beings are diverse. And there might be a better person to be the counsellor for that particular individual.
Yeah, and that's a counsellor. But in real life, in friendships and just ordinary everyday interactions, we don't think like a counsellor. So we don't have boundaries and we don't filter like a counsellor would.
Should we all do some counselling training?
Well, I don't, you know, we have this word counsellor and I just think it's life. I think it's just development of our humanness. We can, you know, there's lots of theories out there and lots of opinions, but at the end of the day, Aaron, we haven't actually changed from the time we popped onto this planet. Our structural form, all of that has remained the same. So to me, trauma is trauma, and our emotional reaction to that will remain the same. And the way through that is to understand how we work individually and how things affect us.
Mm. This thing of reacting strongly to things, I've kind of concluded that when it comes to at least national level politics, that like as soon as you've got a strong feeling, a reaction to something, it's lost. You know, there's no point proceeding any further, because politics is just full of people arguing with each other, both convinced, utterly convinced they're right.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a different way of approaching something.
Well, I just kind of got to that point now in my life, because I got really heavily interested in politics, and I'm just like, if I'm having that emotional reaction, something's gone wrong, and there's no point proceeding any further.
No, you'll destroy yourself. You'll end up very unwell, because we're trying to hold ourselves together in places that really we're being ripped apart.
Is there anyone involved in politics who's not in that situation?
Well, ask Jacinda. If I look at her parting speech from Parliament, I saw a far more relaxed kind of, I just saw a woman who was kind of relaxed and not holding something massive anymore. Complete change around, I saw anyway.
Yeah, well, but every Prime Minister, I mean, she was through an extreme time.
Massive, she went.
But I mean, every Prime Minister gets that incredible load, unless they're a sociopath, I guess.
It would be a lot easier. True that.
But the thing I'm looking at is just that, how do you deal with all those issues in politics, or do you just need to walk away? Do you just need to walk away for a bit, at least?
Yeah, I think there may be a different way of approaching how we do conflict, or allowing, keeping our mana in conflict, right? And so keeping your ground, keeping who you are, and not losing that in a moment of emotional stress. or de-stress, or stress, emotional stress. And so maybe that's about recognizing and owning up to our own biases, and then learning that it's okay to have, you know, to recognize our bias. Yeah, I have a bias here. I have a, this is my belief system. And for me, I could say, and I can retain that, and I can sit with you and listen to you, but I'm not going to change my belief system by listening to you.
That's a real challenge for some people. It's a challenge for me.
Well, it would be, because I've been practicing this for years. And so, and my personality type leans well towards this. I like fairness and justice and balance and all that kind of thing. So I don't mind hearing another opinion that's totally different from mine, because I'm always thinking of a learning curve. What is it that I don't know, that you know that I don't know, that may be new information? Or it may be that actually I just really don't agree, and that's fine. I can still hear you.
I think we think we get the message.
I agree with you.
We get the message that politics is terribly important, and we get. I could use an extreme example: the mythology around the Soviet Union from the West was that the people there were living in utterly miserable circumstances, grey, dull lives, with the government fully in control of their lives. And I'm not really interested in, for the purpose of this discussion, what was true about that. The point is that that was the mythology they had, the idea that we had, and we feel like, and that was all we knew about them. But they still had families, they still fell in love, they still had children, they still had relationships that were important to them, and they still socialized. And there's all that whole side of our being. And when you get the message that politics is really important, you forget about all that other stuff.
Very good. So what happens is that our emotional reaction to something, or the tension arises, and that becomes the focal point. And we forget about the intricacies of life, that there is still love in the air, there are still families, there are still children, there is still life happening in amongst this turmoil that we're talking about. So we focus on the bias, or we focus on the emotional reaction that we're having, and we're trying to prove to somebody else that this, you're wrong and I'm right, and this is why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. And we get so engrossed in that becomes the topic, right? And yet the smaller things that make up the wholeness of life gets left behind, and that's just living.
But they may not be smaller things. They may actually be the most important things.
Oh, well, like, I would agree.
Like I'm now trying to remind myself that we human beings, we don't exist in isolation. We exist in relationship. Like that's the nature of our species, or whatever you want to call it. The nature of our being is to exist in relationship.
Absolutely, we're born to be in relationship.
Yeah, and so if relationships are the most important thing, every time we get in a political fight.
Yeah,
we've lost.
Well,
both sides, both of us have lost.
You know, in that fighting scenario. Causes isolation.
Yeah.
There's no coming together in a fight, so there's no reconciliation. When we're using the word fight, we are coming in with our fists up. We are ready to defend at all costs. And so, you know, all we're trying to do is I want you to recognize my bias and believe it and live by it.
Yes.
And I'm saying back to you, well, I want you to recognize my bias and live by it. And so there's no ground where we can come and look at something and agree that we think differently, but still have a fee for each other, still have love, still have care for the human being, rather than our emotional reaction to something that has either been ingrained in us or we've had trauma around. We're not thinking of it in a clear-minded way.
As
we wrap up, because we're going to.
Are you ready to wrap up? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I've given you a lot of words, and I think that sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm trying to describe situations without naming and labelling something.
Well, we need to. It's hard to use any examples.
Exactly.
Because,
you can't. And so
it's the nature of it.
It is the nature of the game that we're in. for many years to come, I would say. It's going to get harder and harder. So language that diffuses rather than engages in conflict is probably going to be our best friend going forward, is how do we express who I am, because who I am is going to upset you. Because I'm not going to agree with you and you're not going to agree with me. But that doesn't mean we have to hate on each other.
Actually, I've seen a long time ago, 10 or 20 years ago, I remember someone saying, this is before social media, that a lot of the arguments and the flame wars that were going on the internet where people weren't really arguing about the issue, they were arguing about their identity because they identified with the issue.
That's right.
And if someone identifies with an issue, then, you know, and I was talking before about I'm a vegetarian, I'm a hunter. If someone really identifies with those, there can be no resolution to the argument because you're arguing about the person's very existence.
Yeah, and even that we see it as an argument because we're different. I mean, this is where all conflict comes in.
Well,
it's okay.
Yeah, we're talking about arguments.
Yeah. And it's okay that you're a vegetarian. It's okay that you eat meat and that you, the vegetarian, are offended by the person who eats meat, and the person who eats meat is offended by the vegetarian because, you know, for whatever reason. It's like, it's okay that you both are in disagreement with each other here, because that's just one part of your existence, okay? It doesn't make up all of you. You are still going to have other conversations. You're going to have friendships and love and beautiful things happen in your life that are lovely human things. That small part of you does not take away from the bigger picture of who you are. And we lose people because we concentrate on that little bit that we don't agree with,
yeah.
And that just I can't agree with that, and then we push the whole person away as though they are not worthy now, and that's not the truth. Well, that's not the truth.
Yes.
The truth is that you may never agree with that part of that person, but that doesn't take away the rest of them, who they are, and the beauty of who they are and their humanness. So if we can get to a place where we can agree to disagree, and that's okay, and I might even learn something from you, and you may learn something from me that may help this situation. It may never, ever change it, but it may help it in some way. Then we may find we have some common ground there that we didn't have before. And that's what we're going to look for, is like, it would be ridiculous to think that I'm going to agree with everything that the world is throwing at me right now. I'm not going to. I don't agree. I don't want to agree. It's not what I believe, and I don't want to change that because I'm at peace in my belief. May you be at peace in yours. You know, I would have to ask, why are you in conflict with your own belief? I'm not in conflict with my belief. Why is it conflicting to you? So you'd have to question yourself, why am I so upset about this when if this is who I am? Why do I have to make the world believe that? If this is who I am, because I tell you what, I'm somebody and not everybody's going to agree with me, but I don't want the world to agree with me. I'm quite happy that the world doesn't agree with me, because there'd be no pushback, there'd be no learning,
a grey world.
It would be no new discovery. How boring would that be? And we will not develop as human beings. So if we want to stay stunted and dead wood, then stay in conflict. If you want to grow and actually live and experience life, then know your own bias and work with it and allow other people to be who they are. You do not have to change them or tell them how it should be. You just need to be at peace with who you are, and then others around you will be at peace with you too. If their bias comes forward, you don't have to deal with their bias. You don't have to prove that they're wrong. You just need to know that I'm at peace in who I am, and I'm okay with that. I'd have to question why you're not. And that would, yeah. Even that question there would cause conflict.
Totally.
That's just a pushback. Don't say that.
Think it.
You can think it. Don't say it.
Yeah. Hey, Marie, look, awesome to talk to you this morning. And we have podcasts with all these chats with Marie. going back a little while, so go to our website, ragnarradio.com. If you wanted to hear the start of this again, then that's where you're going to find it. Or you could tune in at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. 7 o'clock Thursday morning. Yeah, that's another way. Anyway, thank you for coming in, Marie.
You are so welcome.